Why would we not prepare for Saturday night on Shabbat? What's the basic concept?
We're supposed to be in.
Exactly, we're supposed to be in it. We're supposed to be on Shabbos mode, totally in the moment of Shabbos, not preparing for after Shabbos. That's like if you're on a date and you're like talking to the date about your next date with a different girl. It's not cool. You don't want to do that, right? You want to just be focused on the Shabbat. So, there's a lot of halachot that we got to know in order to be completely in the Shabbat. So, for example, I'm basing this again on Pnini Halachar of Elazar Melamed's Psak. He does have a lot of lenities, for example. So, let's say you have kaling. Now, let's start with an easy example. Making your bed. You wake up Shabbos morning, and you want to go back and make your bed. I don't know why you would want to do that. Let's say you want to do that. Are you allowed to make your bed for after Shabbos morning? What do you guys think? Yes? Why?
You would say you're renting it for the day. And that's what you always do the day.
Oh, so it really depends on your kavanah. If your intention is just because you want your room to be neat, lechvod Shabbos Kodesh, just like there's an idea of having Friday morning, your table should be set the whole week till your bed should be set, no problem. But if your intention really is to prepare for Motzei Shabbos when you go to bed, then it is a problem. Get it? It depends on your kavanah. Similar scenario. Doing the dishes. Classic. Can I, on Friday night, do the dishes after the meal? What do you think? Oh, so heter number one is if you need the vessels for you're making a meal tomorrow, definitely no problem because you need those vessels. Okay, not a problem.
If it'll make your wife unhappy, that's doing dishes in the sink.
Ah, now here's a second scenario. Let's say you are a woman or a man, and it bothers you to have a big stack of kalim in your bathroom sink. So in your kitchen sink, I'm sorry. So even if you aren't going to make a meal the next day, you don't need those vessels for any particular purpose. There too, there are those who are lenient and say that you can do the dishes. Okay? That's a good leniency. Not everyone holds to that, but the Pnini Halacha says that mufurash. However, I recently discovered he's a little machmir. He says that he doesn't think it's okay to do the big dishes, the pots. The everything else, fine. The pots he thinks is tircha yatera, because it's a lot of effort to scrub down those pots. And it's muksa, he says. And thus he feels like it. No, he's like, what? They don't have any purpose on Shabbat. You're not going to be cooking with pots. You can be using vessels. You're not going to be cooking, cleaning pots. And so the Pnini Halacha says it's problematic. Again, one could imagine that one could make this far if you have a lot of pots and there's a whole thing of them and it really bothers your Shabbat menucha that you could, you could clean them, but maybe in that situation you just put them away in a way that it doesn't bother you.
It's not like a spar that you can't do it because you're not going to use them. Because we already talked about saying that that's on the spar here. The spar here is that it's...
That it bothers you. Right, but I don't know. If it's one pot in the sink, does it really bother you that much? Might depend how ODC you are. You know, in a normal situation, if you're a guy that's anywhere in the vicinity of me, you probably don't care that much, so probably better not to do the pots. However, as I already mentioned, there is a scenario. What if your wife really cares about the dishes and you don't really care about the dishes, right? So what's the halacha? So I think I mentioned this before. So I went to the Kota once because I had this shaila. Is ishto kegufo like a real halachic concept? Or is it just like a cute thing we say to like chassans at the Sheva Brachos? But like, no, he is he. So actually interesting, just came upon this in my daily Mishnah Brewer learning. It says that normally a man and if you're, I don't know, under the covers and touching another person's flesh, and you're not married to that person. In the olden days, they would sometimes sleep together for warmth, and they used to sleep naked. So you can't say Shema while your skin is touching somebody else. Cause that's,
how can you do that? That's like against everything.
What, to be sleeping? Lovely. Well, they were cold and they didn't have a choice. That's what the Mishnah Berurah mentions.
It's not that you're talking about mixed sexes.
No, we're talking about males. We're talking about males. I'm dafka talking about males sleeping together.
Oh, just males?
Two males sleeping together and your flesh is...
That's also problematic,
but in the olden days, they didn't always have an option and it wasn't for any other reason except that was the only blanket around.
If they were so cold, why wouldn't they wear their clothes?
It's a good question. I don't know. Anyways, that's what the Mishnah Berurah brings up. Just take this scenario as it is. He says it's a problem because your flesh can't be touching. However, if you're married and your flesh is touching, it's not a problem, says the Mishnah Berurah, because ishto kegufo, you're one flesh, so you can say the Shema, even though your flesh is touching. However, best to turn away. But technically, you could say the Shema because you're one goof. I just found that. I thought it was really sweet, so I told my wife about that halacha.
Rabbi Amram said we're all one goof.
That's a chiddush. That would be good. Well, he would say we're all one neshama. He wouldn't say we're all one goof. We're all one goof. We're all not one neshama. So, anyways, getting back to our discussion, if your wife is bothered by the dishes not being made properly, since you're really one goof, I went to the kotel and I found a heter. A rabbi said, absolutely, you can do the dishes, even though it only bothers her. It doesn't bother you. I would kind of have preferred if he would have said, no, she has to do the dishes. But no, the rabbi said, I have to do the dishes because that's my job as a man. So yes, on Shabbos, you can do the dishes if it bothers your wife. Okay, good. What about third meal? First meal and second meal, it's pretty easy to justify. You know, you got to do the dishes because it bothers you. What about after the third meal? It's a little bit of a mess. And let's say there's still a little bit of Shabbat left. Can I take out the garbage on the table and throw it out?
Get ready for fourth meal.
The fourth meal is Malava Malka, but that's after Shabbos. So that's not going to help you.
No.
Some people have a fourth meal on Shabbat. Okay. Those people are crazy. Nobody does it. So that's the question. Can I clean? Can I use this heter of maybe it'll bother me? It bothers me to have dirty stuff on the table on Shabbat. Even if I'm not going to be having another meal on Shabbat, obviously, because Shabbat is over.
If we keep the Shabbos home clean, the Shabbos Malka want to stay longer, so we don't want to leave.
Oh, but we already said goodbye to the Shabbos Malka. But some people say the angels really leave Motzei Shabbat. So there are those who are strict, and that makes a lot of sense, that do not clean up Shalosh Shiddus because you're essentially preparing for after Shabbat. And there are those who are lenient. I've been in yeshivot where they allow you to clear the table, especially if there's still Shabbat left, because you're not preparing for after Shabbat. You're simply doing what you do at a meal, which is clean up, and you're making the Shabbos atmosphere more halaga, so you can sing properly. And that, too, I think, is a heter that seems to be one can rely upon, that if there's a need, and if not, probably better to leave it be, if it doesn't bother you. Okay?
Can you daven where there's a mess? So
it's not disgusting. It's not a negative smell. Some of the halachically would be forbidden to daven with a mess, but in terms of, it's better certainly to daven in a place which is clean. You're davening to Hashem, so yeah, I would say that's another reason why you could probably, at least to a certain extent, make seder so that you can daven in a place that's bekavedik. Okay, that's what I would say. Good. All right. What else? This is interesting. Folding your talis. Am I allowed to fold my talit on Shabbos afternoon if essentially, what am I really folding my talis for?
For
the next day or for the next Shabbos.
But isn't that also about cleansing that you can't do?
So there's a long discussion in the Gemara and in Halakha about this issue. They used to fold their talises in a much more fancy way to get out creases and stuff like that. Lamaisa, if you're doing it in a fancy way and it's clear your kavanah is to prepare, it could be problematic. But if you're just doing it in a basic way, because that's what you do when you're done with using your talis, that's okay. Because you're not preparing, you're just doing the normal thing that's done, and it's not specifically to prepare for after Shabbat. Okay?
Makes sense? I used to do everything differently.
Yes.
Every single thing was like, it's not differently all days.
A lot of things that were different in the olden days because times have changed. Yeah, that is true. I agree. But not everything. They're definitely, we're stressing the things that are different, but it's like when you talk about the difference between Charedim and Datim Lumim. You always talk about the differences between them and the Shkafic difference. But Lamaisa, on a day-to-day level, we're very similar. And our lives are pretty similar. Except you generally stress the differences. So I think it's the same thing here.
Me and a dog of 99.99%.
That is also true.
I thought it was gorilla.
Any
male.
Basically.
Anyway.
Like the really
early 9.99.
And then the dog like one last
9. Okay. Another practical. We'll talk genetics of donkeys and dogs and that chimpanzee later. Fine. What about bringing a Sefer Torah? You wrap the Sefer Torah and now you want to bring it back so that on Monday you can read it, right? Or something like that. Can you do that? obviously. No. It's preparing for after Shabbat. Okay, so you couldn't roll the Sefer Torah to where you need to get it to. Good. What about, this is an interesting question, bringing my Sefer to my house for Motzei Shabbat. I come here for a Raita, and I know Motzei Shabbat, I want to prepare a shir for Sunday morning. So I want to take my, my women and halacha, Sefer from the base, back to my house. Can I do that? Or is that preparing for after Shabbat? Do I have to wait and then come back after Shabbos to yeshiva to bring it back? What if you live far from shul? Right? And this is the only Sefer in town, and you're there for Shabbos morning, and you're only going to read the Sefer on Saturday night. So would that be preparing for after Shabbat?
It's not considered Asur to do on Shabbos.
It's not considered Asur to do on Shabbos, but at the end of the day, you are still preparing something which for what you're going to do.
I thought it had to be something specifically
that's Asur. No, so it doesn't have to be something specifically Asur. It just has to be preparing. So it would be a problem. However, one way of getting out of it would be to just learn on Shabbat a little bit from that Sefer. If you're going to learn even a little bit of that Sefer on Shabbat, even though honestly your main Kavanah is to prepare for after Shabbat, since you're using it on Shabbat, you're not only preparing for Shabbos, and that would be a good heter. Okay?
Well, if you get home and like you forget to read a line, then like you got a problem. This happened before. Lift from the Sefer, like, oh, I'm going to put my friend on the drive, like, oh, bring the Sefer with me.
Right.
And then like I got there and then we didn't learn.
Okay, but your Kavanah was not to prepare for after Shabbat. It happened to work out that you prepared for Shabbat, but that's not a problem. It was only if your Kavanah, your intention was to prepare for Shabbat, and there was not...
For after Shabbat.
For after Shabbat, I'm sorry. But since your Kavanah was to use it on Shabbat, it's okay. Yeah? So you can take that Sefer as long as you use it. Similarly, so this is a controversial halakha. It's funny, I actually prepared this for the college guys. But it's maybe better that they didn't come, because it's hard for people to keep this in Shabbat in college. But if you do keep this in college, I guarantee your college experience will be a much holier experience.
Yes.
You're really not supposed to study for a test on Shabbat, for after Shabbat, on Shabbos.
No way.
Assuming that the test is no value to Shabbat. So what do I mean? I, luckily enough, studied Tanakh in college. So if I wanted... to study for a Tanakh test on Shabbos, I really could. Because you're always allowed to learn Torah on Shabbat. So it happens to be I'm studying Tanakh, as long as I don't openly say I'm studying for my Tanakh test, I'm just learning Tanakh, that's okay. But if, let's say, the Panini Halacha writes, I'm studying for an English test on Shabbat, so the Panini Halacha at least writes that this would be problematic, because you were essentially preparing for your test on Saturday night on Shabbat, and there's no value to that English test on Shabbos, and so it would be problematic.
But I'm stressed all Shabbos, and my test is tomorrow.
Oh, so then that's the question that everybody asks. What if it's going to make my own egg Shabbos to not be stressed on Shabbat for my Shabbat test? And then maybe, is that a heter? So I hear the svara, I really do, but I am not bold enough to give it a leniency. You can ask another rabbi. Personally, what I always tried to do is study on Friday afternoon, study Saturday night. It made it Shabbat for me. When I was in college, I never studied for a psychology test, even though I do think that psychology is very valuable, and it's, you know, a meaningful thing to do. It is connected to Torah, don't get me wrong.
Isn't everything connected
to Torah? Everything's connected to Torah, but it's like there's some things that are connected to Torah, but you still wouldn't, you wouldn't bring them into the Beit HaMikdash, right? You wouldn't bring a psychology textbook into the Beit HaMikdash, even though it's very holy, so to speak. So similarly, Shabbos is like my holy land, my holy ground. I try not to read as a newspaper. I try not to read psychology. But I assume that there are rabbis out there that probably would give you a leniency, the same reason you're allowed to read a newspaper on Shabbat, because you enjoy it. Maybe one could argue that if I'm reading in English and I'm enjoying it because, I don't know, I'm enjoying it, because interesting material, so then maybe there'd be a heter. But in general, best not to read, prepare for something on Shabbat, for after Shabbat.
Like calculations, like math.
Right, so math, I think, would be in the same type.
Oh, in your head, it doesn't matter.
No, if you're doing it in your head, that's not a problem. We're talking about reading a book that's clearly...
It's like reading a math book, but I've heard that doing math calculations in your head is a problem.
That's a different Indian that we were talking about last week of the spirit of Shabbos. That there are certain things, like you're not supposed to open up a store on Shabbat and do these calculations, not because there's anything technically wrong, but simply because it's not the spirit of Shabbos. And so that would be a whole different category. But now we're talking about just preparing for after Shabbat, on Shabbat. That's
are you talking about counting or just playing a math game in your head?
Well, let's say studying for a math test.
Right. So then that would be preparing. That would be going back.
I thought because you're hurrying.
I'm assuming what I was talking about is you're reading a book
you're
or something.
Not allowed.
What's that?
And sexual thought. That's a whole different discussion.
Math is sexual?
No.
We're getting really complicated. Daver, to speak something out is much more problematic than to think about it. You're absolutely correct. But we're talking now of a scenario where you're reading a book and you're not just thinking in your head, but
you didn't say he was reading a book. So he's just thinking about math?
You're just thinking about math. You probably would not technically...
Like reading a math problem and doing the calculations.
Oh, so that's how I understood the question. If you're reading a book. If you just happen to be thinking in your head, then technically it's not a problem.
Like reading a
but it's definitely not in the spirit of Shabbat. Ideally, the spirit of Shabbat would be to be... Your head should be in Kedusha. Yeah.
Like, I used to say that, you know, like... People in their own zone, like where they're at. Obviously,
yeah.
There's like boundaries. This doesn't mean like someone should break Shabbat just because they're Shabbat. But like the extent that you know, especially these guys are going to be like in college next year or whatever, they're going to have a lot of stress and
sure.
Not judging them, but not necessarily going to be on the level of like actual appreciation for Shabbos. So like to that person, like you're like, hey, I can like study on Shabbat and like cut my losses, or like I can like eventually give up Shabbat. You know what I mean?
This is my feeling. On the one hand, I know a lot of good friends and whatever. I know a lot of people who did study on Shabbat, and I don't think they're bad Jews. They probably had what to rely upon. But a lot of times it ends up that Shabbat becomes the study day. And it's not like, oh, if I'm in an emergency situation, I like read the test. It becomes, oh, Shabbat, that's when I'll get my reading done. Thursday night, I'll go party. Because I have all of Shabbat to read my stuff.
Right, so I'm saying that's the level someone's at, and they're going, meaning, it's a tikufa that they're doing that for.
What I would recommend, and I know I may be speaking ideals, but I am speaking to a significant, you know, particular group of guys that are here learning on their free time about halachot, so I'm assuming that you guys, right, but I'm talking to you guys right now. I would put the bar here, and I would say I would strive as much as possible to not study secular things on Shabbat. And yes, if you're in an emergency situation, if it's something of value, like biology, something that you could find a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in that, I'm assuming that you could probably find a heter in those scenarios. But yes, I'm trying to put the bar here because I think that too often Shabbat becomes the day to study for tests and do for your homework. That's what I personally think. What did you say?
The physics of Hagba, the way that the centripetal motion.
Goodbye. Awesome. By the way, I wanted to bring it today. I totally forgot. But if you have a chance, and alephbeta.org has an amazing Parsha video on this week's Parsha.
It's a great website. I love the Parsha videos.
Yeah, it's awesome. But in this Shabbos in particular, I'll probably show it at the Parsha videos on Parsha chat the last 10 minutes. So it has an amazing video where he talks about how the science and Hashem are like. Basically, when you know how it says this week's parsha, God created the world with the name of Shaddai, right? Which means Shaddai, that God said enough. So we basically talk. That's what Chazal say, that God said enough, and so it's a name which talks about God making borders for the world. So he has this awesome video about how Hashem created the world in the Big Bang, but then everything is just going wild and crazy, and then God says, "Die, enough, stop," and he makes all these amazing laws of physics and gravity and astrophysics in order so that the world can function. And basically, if God didn't do that, like the world, there's no way the world could exist because the odds of it happening randomly are quadrillion to one. And he goes through all the awesome science about how it's clear that God created the world through Shaddai. And now he's moving on to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei when he's taking the Jews out of Egypt. But anyways, it's clear that through science you can...
It's the Trinity, right? Elohim Shaddai.
All I'm making the point of saying is, and hopefully we can watch the video together, it's so cool, is that you certainly can find Hashem in science, but you have to be in that headspace of like, I'm doing it to get close to Hashem. Okay, what time is it? Already 9 o'clock. So one last, just two quickies. If it's something that's not like a malacha at all, it's just simply like putting away the food in the fridge or putting your lulav away, that's not considered hachana because that's just a normal action to do. Even though, yes, technically I'm putting away the food for later, that's not my intention, it's just a normal thing. I'm just putting away the lulav case for later, so that would not be considered hachana for Shabbat. And similarly, you can mark your place where you're learning in the Sefer. That's not considered preparing for Shabbat. You're just marking your place because that's what you normally do. And you can bring a sitter home also because even though technically you're bringing the sitter home for later, really you're just doing the normal thing, which is you bring your sitter home from Shul, and that's not considered Hachanas LeShabbat. Anyways, you should all be blessed to always totally be in Shabbat when we're in Shabbat. Zimun.